Good morning. Everybody doing all right out there? All right. Y'all, I got a couple yes. Can I get a couple more? All right. That's good stuff. I appreciate that video, and it's going to walk into exactly what I'm going to be talking about. So I'm going to need y'all to do something for me. We're going to start rough, but I promise we're going to finish good. Okay? Does that sound all right? Because right at first, where we're starting at, we're going to be in Romans 8, verse 18. It's a little bit rough, all right? So I'm going to give you that warning as we read that. But I promise we're going to finish well. And that's how it's supposed to be anyway, right? It's not how you start, it's how you finish. Some hard verses. And that video, I'll share with you in a second. Something just came to my mind, and I'll share it with you in just a minute. I'm going to read a chunk of this, and we'll kind of stop and go from there. But I'm Pastor John, by the way, and I don't see you guys too much. I live in Moss Bluff. The morning started for me at about 4 o'clock, I guess. I got up at 4, been going since then. Studied about till midnight last night, Kevin, too. So, yep. But we're here, and we're ready. So here we go. Beginning in verse 18, it says this. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from the bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Let's pray, starting there. Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you. And as we sing that song about welcoming your Holy Spirit, Father, I pray that you'd fill me with your Spirit this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd empower me with your Spirit, and I pray that your people also, Father, would hear from you and from your Spirit this morning, that you'd speak through me, that you would change lives in this room, including mine, Father, and we would leave this place differently than we came in. Father, just bless us all by just filling us with your presence, letting us know you're here, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and loving on us as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, with that, I want to back up one verse and read you this. It says, now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. We back up to that, and I know Pastor Kevin covered some of that last week, but thinking about being God's children, and, you know, I remember you said, and I feel the same way, we hear people talk all the time about we're all children of God, and I wish that was completely true. The truth of the matter is we're creations of God, but we don't become children of God until we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and we are adopted into God's family. That's something I hear people say all the time, and it breaks my heart when I hear that because it's just not true. The children of God are the ones that know him, that have an intimate relationship with him. We're all God's creations, but those that share a relationship with Christ, those are the ones that are his children. And oh man, as I was sitting there on the front pew and thinking about, I had a couple of things I wanted to say for an introduction. We're looking at suffering this morning, and the end of that verse 17 says this. It says, you know, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You know, there's been a lot of times I've sat in churches and heard other people preach, and the guy closing down the message, all kinds of truth given. Something I've heard Pastor Kevin talk about this, and I know he's going to agree with me. Sometimes we make it sound like if you come walking down the aisle, if you come down here and you receive Christ, that maybe every single thing in your life is going to be better. Like right that moment, everything for you, the path is going to be easy, that things are going to be totally different. I'm going to tell you what really happens so many times and why a message on suffering is so important. I was sitting on the front pew and I remembered a church that I was serving at in North Louisiana. And one night there was a guy, or maybe it was one morning, a guy stood up and he stopped the preacher mid-message and he said this. He said, preacher, I want to tell you something. He said, right now, right this second, I want to join this church. He's like, I want to be a part of this. I want to do everything I can to help. This church has done so much for me and I want to be part of that church. He said, I want to be part of what you're doing here. sat there on that front pew, and you know what I remembered? That was the last time I ever saw that guy in church. Have you ever seen that happen before? I've seen it time and time again, because here's the reality. Here's what it takes, and just like that fruit growing on that tree, there's so many things that have to happen in our lives for us to get to be closer. We'll never be perfect, but closer to who Christ is and what he looks like. And I'm going to tell you guys, one of those things is suffering. I have sat at tables full of ministers, pastors, youth pastors, and if there's one thing I can tell you about every one of those tables I've ever sat at, there was one guy at that particular moment that was dealing with something that was about to eat him up. It was without fail. And if that's happening to the people that minister to you, you know what I know? It's happening to you too. I'm going to tell you something right now. None of us want to suffer. Nobody wants to suffer. And, you know, as far as explanations go, people are always asking that question, why do bad things happen to good people or even God's people sometimes? I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to share this with you and read this first passage one more time that I started on. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Man, just this week, I talk to people all the time. My wife, who was not my wife last time I stood up here, but my wife will tell you that. Talk to people, share my testimony. I found a letter this week from my intern when I was a youth pastor, and it kind of reminded me of something that seemed like it was missing a little bit in my life. And he said, John, one thing I know you're passionate about is that you've always been passionate about sharing your testimony and telling people about Jesus through your testimony. Some of that testimony is about suffering. And this is what I know. When I begin to share my life with other people, I begin to share my heart. And I begin to care about people. And you want me to tell you something else? Suffering sometimes involves the way you feel. When you love somebody like Jesus does, you think about this for a second. What did his love do for you? Send him to death, right? To die on a cross because he loved you. When you genuinely care about other people, when you feel their pain and those things, sometimes you will suffer for somebody, maybe even that you barely know, that God put in your path. I had two things happen this week, and, you know, it breaks my heart, but two people that I know, two things I heard. A guy around 30 years old, diagnosed with a type of cancer in the last week that could prevent him from having a child. Good. Now, here's the thing about that. His wife, about 6 months before, had some problems that had already put them in that bracket, so to speak. So this guy, this friend of mine, the guy who I care about, is probably sitting somewhere right now wondering, suffering, am I going to be able to have children? And it broke my heart. Then I'm talking to another friend, and I could just tell, you know, something wasn't right. And he begins to share some things in his life and some struggles he had that I had no idea about. My wife will tell you, I came home, and I said, it just broke my heart for him. It broke my heart to hear that somebody was going through that. And as I look around this room, this is what I know about coming to church. And I'll confess this, I've been this guy. I've walked in the back door with the biggest smile on my face. And this wasn't even that long ago. I was having blood pressure issues. And I sat one time on that second row right there. And for the whole entire message, I thought I was going to have to get up and run out because my anxiety was eating me alive. There are people in this room suffering right now. And I could name and I could throw these blanket things out, like some of you are struggling with a child at home. I'm struggling with this. My son turned 19 yesterday. I have a man child now. He's in college and I'm not real sure what to do about that. He's taller than me. I'm a little bit scared of him now. He's got more reach than me. I'm stronger, but I think he could take me as long as he stays outside my reach. But some of you know what? You're worried about kids. Some of you are worried about family members. I've got some of that in my life. And when we have those things, we suffer because it hurts our heart for that person whose heart's hurting, right? But you know the other thing I was thinking about, talking about suffering. I just had this thought the other day about all the people that I pass every single day. Passed a woman coming in this morning, right on the side of the highway, riding a bicycle, riding into oncoming traffic. She kind of swerved out a little bit, so we kind of veered out a little bit. Then she ran off the side of the road and fell down, suffering. And I don't know her condition, but I can tell you this. I've seen enough drug use in this world that I know we live in a world filled with suffering. A world where those things are happening, where families are falling apart. All these things. And what I tell you when I say this is this. Just because you're a Christian and God has saved you and He's promised you the best, it says there is a future glory coming. It does not mean that our walk will be easy. It does not mean that our footsteps or our burdens will be light. Matter of fact, I can tell you this. I care a lot more about people than I did when I walked with the world right now. And people make more of a difference, and I try to make more of a difference in other people's lives. And I try to care about people who don't even seem to care about others sometimes. And you know what? That gets hard to watch those people hurt my friends, my family, all those things. But the reality is this, there's a couple of things, and you know, we all deal with them. Illness, we suffer through that. There's somebody in this room, I'm one of them, waiting on a test coming next week to hear if my heart's okay. You know, there's people in this room, you might be waiting on that. There was a time in my life, I waited 2 weeks to find out if I had pancreatic cancer or not. Not fun, right? Not fun. There's illnesses. You know, there's addiction like I just talked about. There's pain in lives. There's depression. We won't even get on that because it could be a whole message in itself. And you know, ultimately, we all have to think about this too. To get from this life to the next, we all even face death. And it's a reality. And somebody may have even lost a loved one in this room this week. And you know, the thing I know is that there's a peace that only God can give you and only He can give. And that's one of those times He can give you that grace and that peace when you've lost someone. It's a peace that only God can give. But you know what? We all suffer. And it says this. It says in that passage, it says, consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. That glory. We haven't seen it yet, right? But it's going to be revealed in us. I had this humbling experience one time, I guess you'd say. I went and I was having therapeutic phlebotomies. And I was going in and they're sticking me in my arm with a 14-gauge needle. If you ever look at my left arm, it's not track marks, I promise. And my left hand is scarred all up from getting therapeutic phlebotomies, and they would take them out of my hand. And I was sitting there one day, and I was like, God, I was kind of mad at God. And I was like, God, I'm so tired of this. This is such a struggle. I come in here every month, and they take a pint of blood out of me. And then 2 weeks later, my head's hurting. 3 weeks later, I'm itchy again. And, you know, then another month comes, and I know I'm going to get stabbed again. And I know I'm going to have to sit here for, you know, however long this takes. And about that time, I look up, and there's three ladies across from me. And I start looking at them kind of close, and something kicked in me, and it was like, you know what? Quit feeling sorry for yourself. Try to minister to those women. Talk to them. See what's going on. Maybe pray for them. Maybe distract yourself from what's happening. So I start talking to them, two of them, stage four cancer, on chemotherapy, basically, you know, given a life sentence. And this is the thing I thought about with those two women. I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself, and this has been 10 years ago, so 10 years later, we're looking at me. I was sitting there feeling sorry for myself about this little thing, and there were people staring death in the face right in front of me with a smile on their face. I was like, God, I sat there and like, God, I'm sorry. I thank you for the life you've given me. And even if he were to take me out of here today, oh my goodness, I have coworkers that tell you if I was a cat, I've used all nine lives. I'll tell you some of those stories later. Oh, near-death experience after near-death experience, ruptured appendix for 3 days, car accident, 120 miles an hour, 2.5 times end over end, all these things. And God loved me enough to save me to bring me to this place where I'm at. And I tell you that because I suffered a lot. But you know why I suffered a lot? Because my head, you heard that? I did not even feel that. You can put a football helmet on me and it would probably lessen the strength of my head. I'm hard-headed. And I'm going to be honest with you. Some of you are too. Are you? You know what I mean. God's telling you to do something. God's moving on you to do something. He wants to end your suffering. But just like me, I kept walking down those wrong roads. Over and over, it was like, God, I got something better than what you've got for me. But this scripture tells me what? All that suffering I'm going through is not even worth it. It was like me comparing my life to those women. I sat there and I'm like, this story I've got, I'm not even worthy to tell it in front of these people struggling the way they are. Guys, I want to tell you something this morning. God's real. Amen to that? Stand out there, and I see so many things. I've seen so many prayers answered, things that I could not explain. Prayed for a woman who one day was diagnosed with cancer, and you can doubt this if you want to. One day diagnosed with liver cancer, we laid hands on her. We prayed for her at church. The next day she went to the doctor, and they could find nothing. God is real. You look at the stars, and you tell me that happened by accident. I'll tell you, it takes a lot more faith to believe that than to believe there's a creator out there. But not only is God real, God really loves you. And sometimes his plan involves suffering. It is not fun. It is not something we want to go through. But that is a part of our life, and every single Christian walks that walk. It says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Not just to us, but in us. One day we'll be complete. Going on, it says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. It's talking about the creation, the world around us. When Adam fell in the garden, this world fell with him. I mean, we think about those things, and I mean, even the trees. You watch the trees and how they change from season to season. You plant a plant, and some of you, if you're like me, it doesn't matter which plant it is. You have brought it to death by bringing it in your house. You know what I'm saying? Things die. Your favorite pet. You know, this is silly. One of the things I thought about, I had this border collie puppy when I was a kid. And I remember, I came home. I hadn't seen him in a while. I came home and he brought me out in his yard. That dog led me in the yard and died. He waited for me to come home and died out in the yard laying by me. And you know, hey, I'm not one of those people. I love animals, but I realize they're not humans too. But you know, we look around at things like that and we realize this is a fallen world. And it's not just us that suffers, it's all of creation. You think about the flood. God wiped this planet out, except for a boat covered, and you can go look it up, with atonement. It says pitch, but that word means atonement. God saved that family and those animals in that boat. He wiped it out. But people would tell you that this world's getting better by the day. I can tell you this world's falling apart a little bit more every day. I'll tell you this, too. Families are falling apart a little more every day. And I'm going to tell you guys this, and I love y'all when I say this, and I promise I'll say it to the late group, too. Some of us need to get our phones out of our hands and our eyes on one another. Some of us need to get our mouths open telling people we love them instead of putting praying hands on Facebook, guys. That's what God wants for us. All these things and all this fallen creation, it's all around us. But going on in this passage, it says this. It says that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay, brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. Now, two words right there, liberated. And I know we have Celebrate Recovery, and I'm sure there's some people in here that can amen what I'm about to say. Have you ever been liberated from something that was dragging you down? And I'm not just talking about habits. I'm going to be honest with you. Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's a negative attitude you're surrounded by, and sometimes it's you that's the negative attitude. Anybody ever dealt with that before? But have you ever been liberated? I'm going to share this with you. There was a point where I weighed 258 pounds. 258, I was on prednisone. I cannot remember how much. I was suffering with asthma. I was getting Rocephin shots every 3 weeks, Celestone shots. I was on an antibiotic constantly. I'm gamma globulin deficient, so I was missing 70% of my immune system. I stayed sick, like, all the time. Just all the time. I think about that. You know what? Been sick a little bit lately, but my immune system's better. I prayed about that. It's been better. Had some issues with blood pressure. You want me to tell you why that happened? Because I have anxiety issues. And here's a confession from the guy speaking from the pulpit this morning. Sometimes I have a lot of trouble turning the things over to God that he's telling me I need to let him handle. Ouch, I hurt my own toe. And I didn't even step on it weighing 260. I used to weigh 260 pounds. I ate because I was bored, all these things. And I'm going to tell you something right now. I can't beat my son at basketball, but I'm moving around a lot better. That weight taken off of me, it was liberating. But you know what? Even worse than that kind of weight is the kind of weight some of us carry around by sin that's unconfessed. This glory that this passage talks about and this liberation that it talks about and this freedom that it talks about here. Some of us are on that edge, on the edge of that glory, right beside that freedom. It says this, it says, we know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. Let me get a sip of water real quick. I'm kind of dried out. That was pretty good. So looking at that passage, whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. So, I'm about to impress you ladies in here, all right? Here we go. Yesterday, I was the only guy at a baby shower. I was that guy. I'm not sure what my wife owes me right now, but we're going to work. No, I'm just kidding about that. I was the only guy at an all-female baby shower. I kind of felt like the newest monkey at the zoo in there a little bit, and people were staring and pointing, and I don't know what was going on. But there was a girl in there who was pregnant. I think she was, 30 weeks? I think so. I think she was 30 weeks pregnant. And I was watching her walk around, and even at 30 weeks with 10 more to go, I could tell. And hey, ladies, one thing you will never hear this guy say is, I understand what it feels like to be pregnant. I've never, if you hear me even mention, you have my permission to whack me in Jesus' name, okay? You'll never hear me say that, but this I have seen. I know that childbirth hurts. And I know even sometimes that child that comes from childbirth, it causes pain to the mother, but I also do know this. Children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, they also bring great joy. But often, many times, just like in childbirth, and that's what this scripture is saying, it takes pain, it takes travail to get us to that point in our life where God can really reveal joy to us. See, we can be happy sometimes, and that's kind of just an emotion. But here's the deal. You show me a person that's suffering, who can still smile and still say, Jesus Christ is my Lord, and still say, I have hope for tomorrow, even when a doctor said you have 6 months to live. I'm going to show you somebody who's not happy, but they have the joy of the Lord in their heart. I've met those people. My gosh, it's humbling. And I want to be one of those people. And I hope I encourage people with my walk. But we go on through this, and you know, freedom, It says, and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. It says, we know that the whole creation has been going through these groaning pains of childbirth. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grow inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Two things on that. I was thinking about hope, and one of the things came to my mind, things we haven't seen. And I thought about that building model sitting right there in front of the church. And if you haven't looked at it, you ought to come look at it. And one of the things I know Pastor Kevin hopes for, and one of the things I know we hope for, is that we would get that building and we would grow in that building and fill that building absolutely up, right? And that's a hope we have and something we haven't seen yet. We've seen a model of it, but that building doesn't exist. But that's what hope is. It says that there. It says hope. It says hope for what we do not yet have. We wait for it patiently. Oh, man, hope for things like that, for things we're waiting on, that whole thing about getting our bodies restored. Anybody else waiting on that? I am 42 years old, and my left hip, I haven't been able to play golf in like a year and a half, and I know some of you are like, well, thank goodness, that was probably the most boring thing on earth you could ever do anyway. I went bowling with my kid, and I realized that I couldn't put my weight into my left hip anymore to throw the bowling ball. I played basketball with my son, and I'll confess this. I'd been smoking him for years on the basketball court. He tore me up. I jumped one time, I hit the ground, and my hip collapsed in the Elizabeth Gym. I just fell plump down. It's like, God, what has happened? I never was that much of an athlete, but something has happened. My body's falling apart. You know, I'm saying this, and some of you in here are dealing with arthritis and all those other things. You're like, boy, you need to be quiet. Just wait. I think my favorite candy is Motrin right now. So, but God does promise us this, that there's coming a day when he's going to restore that our bodies are going to be restored. And going on through this passage, it says this. It's for in this hope, talking about that redemption of our bodies, it says for in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. And man, isn't that hard? Patiently. And I was in traffic the other day, and I kid you not, a light turned green, and before my brain processed it, somebody was honking a horn at me. Y'all been in front of that person too? Man, patience. Oh. We talk about patience all the time. I struggle with that. You know why? I'll go ahead and tell you. We are selfish people with selfish desires who want what we want exactly when we want it. And you know who the last person we ask most of the time about those things is? The one who created us and the one who knows our purpose. We tell God what we're going to do. And then in the end, sometimes when it gets so bad we can't pick our head up, we make a 911 call and ask him, where'd we go wrong? Patience. Oh, man, that's a killer right there. It says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Seeing people broken, seeing people just tore all to pieces, come to an altar, and I've prayed with them, and the only thing they could get out was tears. You ever seen somebody like that? I'll tell you this, I've been that person before. I've sat in my car before, and the Holy Spirit kind of moved on me, and hey, there's been times where I started crying, didn't even know what I was crying about. But I felt God's Spirit in that room. You know, I tell you this, there's times we get to a place in our life that we just have no idea which direction to go. I get like that in a car all the time. I get lost. I can get lost using a GPS, and I do it quite regularly. And here's the funny thing about that. God's given this to us as his GPS for the way for us to live our lives. And this is something else I've heard pastors I've heard youth pastors, I've heard complain about this. At a table full of those people, like 30 of us, you know what the thing that I remember most of those guys saying was? They didn't pray enough, and they needed help with prayer, and they weren't in Scripture enough, and they needed to study God's Word more. So when we get to that place, and we all get to it, we need the Holy Spirit to groan for us when we're not capable of asking God for what we need. And it says that's what happened. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He searches our hearts, knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Because see, that's what sometimes the hardest thing to find is, right? Finding God's will for your life. And sometimes that's why suffering is necessary. Sometimes it takes an accident. Sometimes it takes something impairing some part of our life to wake us up. And we go on, and it says this, and we know, and here comes the good part I've been promising you. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. I'll take that big chunk right there, and I'm going to summarize it kind of like this. This you can believe. The promises God makes, He's good to keep them. If God promises He'll save you, He will justify you. And not only that, He will keep you, and one day He will glorify you. God is sovereign. God loves you, and we can trust His promises. But then it says this right after that. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? It is, as it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And after reading all that, listen to this. So if you think you've been suffering, I got this for you, and I'm going to close with this. Paul, the guy who wrote that, said this. He said, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently. Listen to this. Been flogged more severely and been exposed." Got my page bent. "Been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and had often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face the daily pressure of my concern for all the churches." Wow. Take your suffering and lay it beside that. That's who wrote that passage of Scripture. So you know what? He knew what he was talking about. If you're suffering this morning, I'm going to pray for you in just a second. And just let you know, I love you. And know this, that suffering, though it may feel like you're not going to make it through it right now, There's a point on the other side. God tells us he's working through those things, and he's going to do things in our life later on and use those things to change us. And if you ever want to hear my testimony, grab me. I'll tell you about some of that stuff, and I'll tell you that promise is true, but I want to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you so much for everything that you do for us and for passages like this, Lord. It's hard to think about suffering. And Father, it's tough, but Lord, suffering is a part of this life, and you love us and you care about us, Father, and sometimes it's through that suffering that we draw closer to you and know you better and who you are. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.